News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8.07 on Mobile Mornings, and day to get to the polls. Mm-hmm. Not everywhere. Not everyone's having an election today. Not every municipality or hamlet in our listening area is urging you to get out and vote. But yeah. In some places, Mobile, certainly Orange Beach, Fairhope.
Yeah, and we've already this morning, we're only 2 hours and 7 minutes into our program, but already catching some heat on the phone lines. People upset with us for showing up to the wrong polling location. And I'm thinking, man, we've said it 8 or 9 times that your polling location today is not likely to be the same as where you normally vote during midterms and general elections. And I've been sharing this link with some folks on the text line, and I'll happily share it with you, too, if you text me.
Do it again. Yeah, it's do it again.
So myinfo.alabamavotes.gov. If you didn't see or threw away that postcard, I believe it comes from the county probate officer. I might be wrong. Maybe it comes from the Secretary of State, but they did send postcards out to registered voters saying where your municipal polling location would be.
Yeah.
But I mean, who looks at the old snail mail anymore?
I've got it on my refrigerator, mm-hmm. so I knew that it was information that I needed. And anytime I've got information that I know, like a wedding invitation or whatever, that's coming up down the road, I put it on my refrigerator.
On the fridge.
And then I forget about it.
Yeah. How are you on magnets? Have you ran out of fridge magnets or?
All out.
All out. Yeah.
I'm all out.
It's tough when you have to start stacking those notices underneath each other just because you're out of magnets.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
So you'll have to get back to the fridge and then to your polling place.
Not only did I forget where my polling place is, there's a wedding 4 years ago that I completely missed.
So that site, if you want to look it up, myinfo.alabamavotes.gov, myinfo.alabamavotes.gov. It has a polling place search there. You just put your address in. It'll tell you where you're expected to vote and what city council district you're in. It's that easy.
Just your address, right? Your address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John Sharp always does a great job, AL.com, taking the biggest stories and kind of boiling it down. He did with this election day today. One thing about what John writes here, it's heartening to me because a lot of people have been saying in Mobile or people have crossed the bay or whatever, interested in the Mobile election. Well, what do you think? Well, what do you know? Well, what are you hearing? And I'm like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And in this story, John says four candidates, all of whom have public sector experience, are vying for the job, talking about Mobile mayor. No legitimate third-party polling has taken place in the election, and the contest is viewed by most observers as being wide open.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way almost. Have you heard any political point of view that or a pundit that seems to be very certain about how this election is going to turn out?
I haven't. Other than the actual candidates, if you ask them, they'll say, I expect to win and I expect to win big. Now, whether they believe that or not is another story. But as far as people who have been paying attention and commenting on this, not a one that I know seems to think they know exactly what's going to happen.
Most people do think it's going to be a runoff.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know how that works, if none of the four candidates gets 50% of the votes plus one vote, one more, it'll come down to the two top vote getters, and that runoff will be the 23rd of September.
Yeah, and even while there has been no official third-party polling, a lot of the media, including us, have run polls. And even in those, when they're pretty skewed towards one candidate, that candidate I haven't seen get over 50% of the vote. I know yesterday Leo and some others have, over the weeks, shared with me an NBC 15 poll that had Prine with a pretty healthy lead. But even in that one, I don't think he was up to 50%. You look at ours, which this poll has been sitting on our website for some time now. It's been marinating, a long-running poll here. And Spiro has 40% of the vote there. Connie Hudson, 34%. Paul Prine, 24%. And Barbara Drummond, 3%. Of course, this is not a scientific poll on our website. And Barbara Drummond will end up picking up a lot more than 3% of the vote. But kind of goes to show you, it really is, no matter what poll you look at, I haven't seen two that are exactly the same, and I haven't seen any that have anyone winning without a runoff. So That would be the most shocking thing to me, is if somebody wins with over 50% of the vote today.
Could somebody win because they just had so much operating finances? Spiro Chiriagatis had received $1,064,542. You look at that, he's the top of the heap right there, all the way down to Paul Prine, who was less than $200,000, $171,442. So, you know, is money going to make a big difference in this open seat election? I don't know.
It might. It really might.
It's got to mean something, right? I mean, it could even mean a negative if you use that money poorly, if you produce TV ads that offend people or give them the wrong impression or an impression they don't like.
It could work the wrong way, for sure. It'll be hard to parse that as well because of other factors, like with Spiro Chiriagatis having raised the most money. If he does make his way into the runoff or even lead after today's vote, did the Stimson endorsement play a pretty major role in that, and all of the other support that he received after Stimson's endorsement? Does the fact that he's with a well-known family, his wife Lucy Greer, I mean, I know a lot of people have made fun of those ads or used it as a reason to say they don't want to vote for Spiro, but I imagine there's a lot of people around here who love the Greers and say, hey, I'm on board. I'm on board with that. You look at our Facebook page, and we've been getting comments on the text line, of course, all week as well, but outstanding response at FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook when Leanna posted the question yesterday, said, what is your prediction? And you could see the people who quote-unquote work for the candidates. I don't know if everyone's getting a paycheck, but certainly some of the more outspoken people in the community have their favorites, like Kyle Callahan, who has a post up here. And it's funny, you look at these different posts. He says, three of the candidates talk politics. One has actually led. And he says, Paul Prine. And then he lists his, with American flag bullet points, he lists his reasons why Prine is ready to lead. And then he says, you can't buy him, you can't control him, but you can vote for him. So that was one response on our Facebook page. But then two posts down, Freddie Wheeler, who calls the show fairly often, says, of the four candidates, only one has a shared vision for the future, from Bay Access to using AI to solve issues in crime and transportation. Vote Spiro for mayor. Mobile forward. There are greater things ahead.
And he's from that district. You know, Freddie is out west. Yeah, he was a big part of the
annexation
talk.
And then you have several folks who have put Prine, of course. I see Dink there, Paul Prine. Another, Spiro for mayor. This texter, a lawyer, or on the Facebook page, a lawyer and judge that's moral and ethical would be the best choice for a mayor of a complex industrial port city. Charlie here says Drummond and Prine in a runoff, unless Drummond wins outright, which is very possible. Spiro third, Hudson fourth. Another here, Ian, says, I wonder how Prine will actually do, because I see tons and tons of people saying, quote, though I don't live in the city and can't vote, I'd vote for Prine, but I don't see as much support from people inside the city itself. Another one here, Curtis, I don't have a dog in the fight, but I just want to predict. I will say Paul Prine or Barbara Drummond. As far as predictions go, I think those are the top two that people are predicting are in a runoff, Prine and Drummond. What do you think? 251-343-0106. And again, if and when this ends up in a runoff, most likely September 23rd, is that the date where it'll actually be decided?
Yes.
So we're headed there on a rocket ship here. As far as polling places, Jay Bird says we're voting at City Hall in the Satsuma Shire, he says here. Todd says you shouldn't be able to spend more money on campaign ads than the job pays. Matt says you guys could be handing out $1,000 and some dipstick would complain that you didn't hand out more. Said, if I reach the milestone that I can text into a talk show and blame the DJs for my personal life decisions, I guess I've made it in life. That's from Matt. Michael says,
Matt's got our back.
Michael says, I'm expecting a Prine Drummond runoff. I'm also extremely curious about what Spiro will do with all the cash on hand if he doesn't make the runoff.
So here's part of my observation of this whole thing, is that Spiro is somebody that, he was a judge, but judges are nearly... He won an election to become that judge. otherwise, you know, pretty anonymous candidate, I have to say. Not in the political wheel big time. Became a judge, had to get enough votes to win that. You've got Connie, who's been an elected official for many, many years, both with the city and the county, so that's notable. You've got Barbara, who was with the Jones administration, good or bad or ugly, whatever you want to say there, in terms of what kind of administration that was, if it was successful or not. And then you have...
And she was a state representative. State representative.
Right. So she's won those elections there. And then you have Paul Prine. And it seems to me that Spiro went from somebody that we didn't know really that much about. We were just filling in the blanks. Like, isn't that the judge that said that about Stimson back a couple of years ago that was mad about, you know, COVID and all that, and the way the way the judges were getting blamed for things? And that was our starting point with him. Otherwise, for me, I didn't know anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's married to Lucy Greer. Okay, we get it. Okay, we know the Greers. All right, we're getting somewhere now. He's endorsed by Stimson. We all know Sandy Stimson as far as maybe we don't know him personally, but we know the job that he's done or have an impression of what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, Spiro, okay, I'm thinking, okay, you're my guy. And he has all this money to run these ads that are, I think they're fine. They maybe a little slick, you know, but in no way would it paint him in a bad way. I guess what I'm saying, Prine is a headline grabber because of his trials and tribulations. He was the police chief. He unceremoniously lost that position,
mm-hmm.
and then the city was divided. So you definitely know who Prine is, and through the last year or so, we definitely know who Spiro is.
Mm-hmm.
I think the two on the back burner, in a way, are Connie, who just steadily has done her job, and Barbara Drummond, kind of the same thing. Where the headline grabbers have been Spiro and Prine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. That's my two cents.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And it'll also be interesting to me. So you mentioned the turnout in that story that John Sharp had.
Yeah, that's wild. Pretty, the turn down and turn out.
Because it was at 46% turnout, both when Sam Jones won in 2005.
Yeah, and when he lost in 2013.
In 2013. And in 2005, that was the last time that we had a mayoral here in Mobile that didn't have an incumbent.
Yep.
20 years ago.
Right.
But the turnout
after Dow.
The turnout from 2013 dropped from 46% to 24% by 2021.
Right. So in between, 2017 was 36% or in between.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're right, it just fell off a cliff.
And it was tracking that way because the election in between those also saw a dip in the numbers,
right,
until it went all the way down to 24% last time. I can't remember what the weather was like that day, whether that played any role in there being such a low turnout. But today, I mean, that could make all the difference as well. If there's a low turnout, it could mean one thing. If there's a higher turnout, another. And if there is a low turnout, it'll depend on who built the most passionate group of voters,
right,
to show up and vote for them. As far as passion goes, both hated and loved, I'd say Prine, of the four candidates, has the most lovers and the most detractors. There's so many people I've seen that have posted when asked that question, who do you want to see lead the city of Mobile? There's many that have said, I'm fine with any of the three that aren't Prine. And then you see so many others that are just all Prine time all the time.
Yeah.
So if there's low turnout, I mean, I would expect still Prine to get quite a bit of the voters out there that are so passionate about putting him into office. I don't know. It's a real crapshoot. Let us know on the text line what you think. 251-343-0106. That's not even to mention the other municipal elections that we have going on. And Orange Beach, we've had one texter this morning from Orange Beach.
There's only one polling place in Orange Beach.
That's what Tina says. Yeah, pretty light in Orange Beach. Now, she texted about 7:30, so just 30 minutes after the polls opened, she said they only have the one polling place and that there were about 100 people in there when she was voting at 7 o'clock. So the candidates are out there greeting voters. Well, that makes it easy when there's one polling place.
One polling place.
For the candidates to know where to be.
Both candidates there. Very contentious race.
Is security. Sure. Is security on site?
I'll bet in some way it is, for sure. Yeah, let us know what's going on at the polling places. 251-343-0106. You can also call that number if you wish. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 826 on Mobile Mornings. And kind of quiet on the text line this morning. We've had election days, well, certainly the presidential election days. The text line was sparked into a fire. We don't need that. But it's been kind of quiet. But just curious if the turnout seems to be high or low in your district in Mobile and across the bay, too. Fairhope, Orange Beach, let us know.
Mm-hmm. Mark says, let's see, just passed our mayor-elect Paul Prine on airport. Oh, someone's confident this morning, Mark. He said he was flying a huge Prine for mayor flag behind his pickup truck. I honked the horn and gave him a thumbs up. Said, get out and vote Prine.
That's cool in Mobile, in our city. It's a pretty, you know, fairly decent-sized city, but you can see your candidate on the road and recognize him. Like, that's pretty, that's almost small-townish.
It is, yeah. And, hey, by the way, he said Prine had a big campaign flag. There will be no burning of candidates' flags after this election.
Okay.
We cannot have that happen. Another texter here. With a little rhyme here, a vote for Prine is a vote against crime. A vote against crime is a vote for better economic times. A vote for better economic times is a vote for a better Mobile time. I appreciate that, texter. Paul says, if Prine loses today or in a runoff, I guess we will find out if he really loves Mobile. Will he stay a resident of Mobile or move back to Saraland? And Paul said, I can't imagine voting for someone who had to move into the city to run for a city office.
Okay. I just talked about that, right? What kind of a turnoff was that for people, for instance, with Prime? The big thing has been, aside from his other controversy getting fired and all, were you for it or against it, not living in the city of Mobile until making sure he could qualify. Does that mean anything to anybody? It seems to mean something to some people.
Yeah, it's brought up often enough that it seems like a factor in quite a few people's votes. 251-343-0106. Ben said, I can't vote in the Fairhope municipals, but they only have one polling place, the Fairhope Civic Center. So one polling place in Fairhope, one in Orange Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we have at least several here in Mobile because we have seven city council districts, first off.
Yeah.
But you're voting in one place. I'm voting in another.
It's a big number. It's like between 35 and 40.
Wow.
I think.
That many here.
Yeah, I think so.
And comparatively, many less polling places in some of these other locations.
I've been to 27 websites, voting websites this morning. So excuse me for not having the number on the tip of my tongue.
251-343-0106. Yeah, we can keep these election texts going throughout the hour. We will change the subject up a little bit here. Yesterday, we had a lot of executive orders. I think he had three separate pressers. President Trump did yesterday, and a couple of the things he said upsetting people, not just his usual detractors in the media and on the left, but some right wingers not happy with a couple of the executive orders from yesterday. I have a problem with one thing the Trump administration announced yesterday, although it's probably not what you think, but we'll get to that and more of your texts on the way after this.
8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 835 on Mobile Mornings. Usually this is the time when we can look at the text line and everyone has reacted to Quinn Hillier, but Quinn had an engagement in New Orleans this morning, so we weren't able to get him to give you his points of view this morning.
Hmm.
835, text line 251-343-0106. It's funny, Dalton, we watch these Trump pressers. I guess it's kind of a Fox Digital thing, or is that what we have on in our office? And it just says the camera on Trump all day long.
Yeah, yesterday it did.
Many days it's like that. It's like a long, it's one thing after another. People parade in and parade out. But it looks like one press conference, basically. All the White House press corps
is
there.
He is all the time holding press conferences. But I think even yesterday was a bit unprecedented. Or close to unprecedented. He hasn't done it very often. I think he had three separate pressers yesterday.
Including he had the president of South Korea in there at one point.
Yeah, he did.
You pointed out to me, it's like you want to talk to the top guy in South Korea, talk to him quick because
he's likely being indicted soon.
Yeah, they shuffle him in and out pretty quickly.
The history of South Korean leaders is something else. But yeah, that was part of the day yesterday, and he had the grand executive orders signings as well. And that has fired a ton of people up. Some of these executive orders that Trump signed yesterday, I think the most discussed one in the media for sure, is the flag burning.
Yeah.
And signed that yesterday, meant to ban the burning of the American flag, of course. You had people both on the left and the right piping up, using their First Amendment rights, because they say that burning the flag is protected under the First Amendment. Now, you could tell if someone's left-wing or right-wing by how they argue against this, if they're against it. If they're left-wing, they'll just say, no, that's protected under the First Amendment right. If they're right-wing, they go, now, I hate the burning of the American mm-hmm. flag more than just about anybody, but it is protected, mm-hmm. and that's how you can tell someone's politics. Trump said, if you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail. No early exit, no nothing, and you will see flag burning stopping immediately. And comparing it to his first term when he signed an EO to protect national monuments from being destroyed. The DOJ is ordered to probe all incidents of setting the American flag ablaze and bring charges, quote, where prosecution wouldn't fall afoul of the First Amendment. So while Trump was kind of talking yesterday, the actual details of the executive order are a little more particular. And it really seems to me that the Trump DOJ, whoever he tasked with making sure this happens, they're really going to push the court to find out exactly where that line is for how much of the burning of the flag is protected by the First Amendment. The order authorizes the Attorney General Bondi, to vigorously prosecute those who violate our laws in ways that involve desecrating the American flag. This may include, but is not limited to, violent crimes, hate crimes, illegal discrimination against American citizens, or other violations of American civil rights, and crimes against property and the peace, as well as conspiracies and attempts to violate, and aiding and abetting others to violate such laws. I think for me, and it really has been ridiculous, I get so PO'd when I see, especially the anti-deportation rallies, and I know there's been a lot of it at the anti-Israel rallies, where so often you have people that aren't even originally from America protesting America and burning the American flag. And as a red-blooded American, like so many other people out there, you go, you know, where do these people get off? What makes them comfortable enough to do that here? And it pisses me off. It pisses off everybody that I know when they see that happening. But there's really been no recourse. I think what Trump is saying is, hey, if they're doing that, they're probably breaking other laws too. Yeah. And just because you're worried about stepping on their First Amendment rights for burning the American flag, don't look past all the other stuff that is going on when that flag burning is happening. Like, is it inciting a riot? Which, you know, there's been a lot of riot talk, obviously, over the years. Are they breaking any discriminatory laws, which I think there are too many of those on the books that everybody can kind of turn to when they want. But it's saying, hey, if they're breaking other laws, prosecute them for those along with the burning of the American flag.
Yeah, I think when you have the burning of the American flag, it's usually part of a larger situation, mm-hmm. you know? Like, yeah, he's burning the flag, and he's also throwing a cement block at a guy who works for ICE.
Right,
it's almost like it's hand-in-hand with other anti-American crimes.
And somebody texted in yesterday when Sean was talking about this on Midday Mobile and said, hey, if you can't burn the pride flag, why can you burn the American flag? And Sean yesterday was saying, you know, I don't remember any cases where someone got in trouble for burning the pride flag. I felt a gnawing in my stomach like that had happened before. And I did a search for it here. And back in 2023, if this search was correct, you had now just one notable case that I know of. Maybe there have been more. Said in Manhattan back in 2023, Angelina Cando was arrested for setting fire to a pride flag displayed outside the Soho restaurant Little Prince. Okay. She faced charges including arson, criminal mischief, and reckless endangerment, all classified as hate crimes. The incident caused property damage, led to temporary evacuations of nearby apartments. And then I threw this up there in ChatGPT, and it gave some legal context, it says. In the U.S., the First Amendment protects freedom of speech, which includes symbolic acts like flag desecration. However, this protection primarily applies to the American flag. Destruction of other flags can lead to legal consequences if the act results in property damage, poses safety risks, or is deemed a hate crime. Why can't that apply for the American flag as well?
Yeah.
If it results in property damage, poses safety risks.
Well, if it does.
Or is deemed a hate crime.
I think, well, the hate crime thing, that might be. But that what that lady did, it was a big mess. She didn't take a flag, you know. She didn't own the flag, you know. Like, I have this flag. I bought it on my own, or I made it, or whatever. Here it is. It's a pride flag. And now I'm going to show that my disfavor with that lifestyle by burning this flag on the sidewalk. Nothing else gets damaged.
Yeah.
You know, it's my flag. I'll do what the hell I want to do with it. But what she did was
found one and lit it.
She saw one that was attached to a restaurant. And so she created more damage. So that whole thing is a whole lot more, you know, she was penalized, or she was she was prosecuted for the damage she did as well.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
Continue. But anyway, you're right. If that's a hate crime, though, isn't burning an American flag a hate crime as well?
Especially if you're not American and are protesting Americans. And I know many of you will say, well, just look the other way. That's the thing about America, is you're allowed to do that here, mm-hmm. and you'll still be accepted, even though people won't like it. But I rarely see a video that goes viral of someone burning an American flag by themselves in their backyard. Usually it's in a pretty public location. And if they're getting people with arson charges for other things, that's simply what it sounds like to me. While Trump dressed it up rhetorically because, well, no one likes seeing the burning of the American flag, he made it sound much more yesterday like, you burn the flag, you're going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, behind the scenes, not even that far behind the scenes in the actual order itself, they're saying, hey, we're going to go after you for what we can, and in the meantime, see exactly where that line is from that Supreme Court order from, what was it, back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
What are you or are you not allowed to do in the name of free speech when it comes to burning the American flag?
I'm going to have to find this clip, and maybe we can even get Leanna to put it on our Facebook page. It was the late 70s, I believe, and it was interesting, the reaction to it, too, because the nation, you know, it's always had
tension.
Yeah, tension. There's always the 60s into the 70s. There was a lot of tension. There was a lot of people didn't trust the government. People were the Vietnam War sparked so much emotion.
Yeah, I mean, it was such emotion that even 40 years later, people still hate Jane Fonda over that.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So I'll try to get the facts straight, but a guy. The World Series is in Los Angeles, and Dodger Stadium looks about the same as it did then. And a guy is racing across the field with an American flag, I believe. And then this is the World Series, and I could have it all wrong, but that's what I think. He might have been the game of the week. I don't know. He's trying to light it on fire. So he's got the flag. He's in front of 50,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
And he's trying to light it on fire.
With a match. That's a lot of pressure.
Or light something. And Rick Monday is the center fielder, and he runs up and snatches that flag from the guy.
Wow.
And the place goes crazy. Now, that's how I remember it. I'll find that clip and see if that's how it went down.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be something cool to... So even in a divided America then, because America's always been somewhat divided,
yeah.
The crowd went crazy for this act of they saw it as an act of heroism.
Patriotism. Right. Yeah. I can't imagine the nerves of trying to light a match in front of 50,000 people. I mean, high odds of embarrassment there, trying to spark one of those up. But what do you think the reaction would have been if he'd actually lit it? You think that dude would have made it out, or would he have gotten jumped on?
Well, he would have been arrested, and that would have been the best thing for
for him,
his security,
to get out of there. Another thing mentioned by the Trump administration, Trump himself yesterday, is he's talking about making a deal with China. And this is something, unless the administration can really explain this in a way that makes sense to me, I'm pretty upset about this. Trump said his administration will welcome more Chinese students than ever into the United States to enroll in higher education as they continue trade talks with Beijing. Trump announced yesterday he plans to open the floodgates to another 600,000 Chinese college students.
I thought we were going the opposite direction with this.
That was the plan, especially when you consider all of the efforts by the Chinese Communist Party of China over the last however many decades, but especially the last 20 years, to really put people into our top universities, get Chinese people into the military that are still working on behalf of the Chinese government. I mean, we see stories to this day, even I think over the weekend or last week, of someone who was feeding China intel out of the Navy. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, they announced this yesterday, planning to allow another 600,000 Chinese college students in. There are currently around 270,000 Chinese students enrolled in U.S. universities. So you're looking at at least a 200% increase in the number of Chinese students allowed in.
I thought that Trump had just said in the last 3 months, pointing out the number of Chinese foreign students that are in the United States, how we had to curb all that. And it was when he was hammering Harvard.
Yeah, and that's part of it, too. This is almost a lifeline to some of those Ivy League universities that Trump has been hammering over their anti-American activities.
Right.
And they're going to get a lifeline by having, you know, hundreds of thousands of more Chinese students come to our universities. And Howard Lutnick, Commerce Secretary for Trump, he was on with Laura Ingraham last night. And I'm not the biggest Laura Ingraham fan by far. I thought she did a pretty good job yesterday kind of holding her own here. Let me play some of this Lutnick and Ingraham last night talking about the Chinese students coming to America.
It's very important.
Mr. Secretary, with all due respect, how is allowing 600,000 students from the communist country of China putting America first?
Well, the president's point of view is that what would happen if you didn't have those 600,000 students is that you'd empty them from the top. All the students would go up to better schools.
By the way, what's the problem with that? All right, so if you take all the Chinese students out, then all of a sudden the halls of Harvard and Yale are empty. And then all of these other mediocre students that are in the rest of the universities, a.k.a. Americans mostly, would go up to those elite universities. Lutnick and I guess Trump see that as a problem.
And the bottom 15% of universities and colleges would go out of business in America. So his view is he's taking a rational economic view, which is classic Donald Trump, looking at higher education and saying,
but why are you
until
helping
we
Harvard?
Modify that.
That just What's helps that? Harvard and UCLA and UCal Berkeley. And I mean, y'all helping those schools. Why? They're like, basically factories of anti-American propaganda. Now they're getting a big influx of cash because of the Chinese students. I know President Trump has always been very pro-Chinese student. I just don't understand it. For the life of me, those are 600,000 spots that American kids won't get.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm involved in. I'm involved in changing the H-1B program, right? We're going to change that program because that's terrible, right? We're going to change the green card. You know, we give green cards. The average American makes $75,000 a year, and the average green card recipient, $66,000. So we're taking the bottom quartile. Right. Like, why are we doing that? That's why Donald Trump is going to change it. That's the gold card that's coming. And that's we're going to start picking the best people to come into this country. It's time for that to change.
I think we, our American engineering students, need to be given the first role at every job, and I think they're brilliant when given half a chance. But, Mr. Secretary, I know you're juggling a lot of balls over there.
So, anyway, and Trump, he had just earlier in that presser when he was making this announcement say that, you know, Biden just got taken advantage of left and right by China. This is not a good move. His base does not like the fact that Mr. Tough on China is now going to allow 600,000 Chinese students into the universities, giving a lifeline, it seems, to some of the elite universities that he's been absolutely hammering here these last few months.
Well, they don't need a lifeline that much because they're so so wealthy. But it does seem to be two things. It seems to be suddenly he's benefiting, for instance, Harvard, and suddenly he is not concerned about the ramifications of that many Chinese national students on our campuses.
Yeah, and I know Lutnick there tried to change the subject to H-1Bs and how the Trump administration now taking a closer look at that. Honestly, they're months late on the H-1B visa debate. And now it's just such a big news because of the fatal, ridiculous accident caused by that illegal immigrant Indian in Florida, where people are finally, I guess, on the national stage realizing that a lot of the H-1B visa stuff, while plenty of people have used it legally and came over the right way, it's being used as a loophole in many, many ways in America to get people here who maybe aren't as deserving or who otherwise exploit the H-1B visa program to be better off than a lot of the Americans who are here, just kind of like it seems like this Chinese student program is going to do here. And he said, if we didn't do this, the bottom 15% of universities would be out of business. I mean, from the capitalist there, Howard Lutnick and Donald Trump, maybe the bottom 15% of universities don't need to be in business.
There you go. There you go. And also, people are making the choice now to maybe pursue their future without a college degree because of a lot of graduates having tough luck getting into the workforce. And that's only going to get tighter with AI in the next 5-10 years.
Along with the debt that many of them carry for decades.
Yep. 852. I think I found that clip from the World Series or the flag burning. That's on the way.
All right.
There you go. That was from, I believe, I think it was a World Series, but there's your clip right there.
Attaway Rick Monday. Yeah, you got a lot of texts after bringing that up. People saying, Dan, it happened exactly like you described it back then. What a guy, Rick Monday, getting rid of the American flag, or taking the American flag that was about to be burned in protest.
Yeah.
Jeff Porcio on the way next. He has a loaded guest list. Hour number one. From Tea Party Patriots, Jenny Martin joins the show. State Representative Barbara Drummond, running for mayor of Mobile, joins Jeff just after 10:30 this morning. And in the 11 o'clock hour, the chairman of the Alabama GOP, John Wall, set to join the show. Leo says, polling place in West Mobile on Howes Ferry is fairly busy. 6 people in line for me to check my ID and more coming. Do you ever see them burning a Mexican flag in California? This texter asks. Another one, you can burn a flag, freedom of speech, but if you carry a flag of another country in a protest, you should get deported to that country. Your friendly neighborhood banker says, I don't see how burning the American flag could not be a crime of hate. It's hate displayed against all of us.
Yeah.
And this texter, good morning, guys. I live what would be a 25-mile round trip to go vote if I have to drive into Fairhope to vote for sheriff, just because I live 30 minutes away from the city of Fairhope. Can't be a valid election. Appreciate the text this morning, 251-343-0106. Tomorrow, full recap of today's results in Mobile and Baldwin counties. If you're having trouble logging into the Pick'em for this year, I send an email to all of those who have not logged in. Go to fmtalk1065.com for directions, or if you want to email me, Dalton at fmtalk1065.com, I'll walk you through it.
859, Jeff Poore on the way next.